Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to talk about the power of the gospel today. That last verse that they just sung about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the theme of the book of 1 Thessalonians. That did trouble them a little bit. We won't get into all that today, but let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll give you the message this morning. Verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And by the way, I looked those up to pronounce them. I don't think that's exactly how they're pronounced, but anyway, you get the idea. By the way, if you're ever reading your Bible and you can't understand one of the words, just read over it. Okay? It's that simple. Some of the names and so forth, or do the best you can. Verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Let's pray. Father, thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. Even as we saw the presentation of Becky's last trip to Honduras, I'm thankful for my eyeglasses this morning. I'm thankful, Father, for the dental care that we have here in the United States. I'm thankful also for the health care that we have. Father, I'm thankful that somebody gave me a gospel tract, told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I could put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I could serve the living and true God. Father, I'm thankful that I believe my hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day He's coming again. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Father, I love you this morning and I thank you for all that you've given to me and all you've done for me and for this blessed people here. Father, they're my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that there's one here that has not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're not in the family of God. They're not a child of God. I pray, Father, that they would repent of their sin, realizing that they cannot save themselves, and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray this morning. Amen. The power of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Power here in this verse in our and also in the verse today that we're going to be talking about here, comes from a Greek word, dunamis. You may have heard that that's where we get our English word dynamite. I'm not sure about that. I looked that up, could not find that. But the word dunamis is power, God's power, God's strength, God's ability. Think about that for a minute. How powerful is God? How strong is God? What kind of ability does God have? He has all power. He has all strength, all ability. He is, in fact, infinite in power. That's incredible. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. I cannot even comprehend that. I remember as a little boy, teenager, growing up, some friends of mine had some M80s. How many of you remember them? I don't know that you can get them unless you get them illegally. I always had those little, what they called inchers, those little firecrackers. They didn't do much. But an M80 was pretty powerful. And that isn't even anywhere close to a stick of dynamite, is it? But we would, sometimes we'd put a tin can and we'd put one of those little inchers underneath there and light it, and bang, it would pop the can off of it. Didn't do anything to it. But I remember one time we had an M80 and we put that under a tin can and put a rock on top of it, lit the fuse, and we all ran and hit the ground, and boom! We went looking for the can. We found the can. It was shredded up, and the rock was probably went to pieces. But it was pretty powerful. And wasn't something to mess around with, because I know if you lit an M80 and it went off in your hand, it would probably take your finger off. In fact, people have had that happen. But an incher, on the other hand, if that went off in your hand, it wouldn't do too much. It would sting and hurt, maybe cut you, but that would be about it. But anyway, think about this. God's power is unlimited. And the power of the gospel can do great things. The power of the gospel can rearrange things, can it not? It can change us. And I'm glad it can. Think about some of God's power. Think about the power of lightning. You know, lightning is powerful. I may have told you this, but I still remember when I was a young man at home, my dad and I, and I think my mother, we were in the living room, and there was a bad storm outside, and all of a sudden, I mean, it cracked. I think all of us came out of our chair. It was so loud. And my dad said, I believe lightning must have struck someplace. And so the next day, he went down in the woods looking, because he kind of figured that lightning might have hit a tree, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And it had split that tree in half. That's power. How about the power of the wind? They say in some of the hurricanes and so forth, the wind can be so powerful it can drive a piece of straw in the side of a building or in the side of a tree. How about a hydrogen bomb? The RDS-220. It's a thermonuclear bomb. Strongest, most powerful bomb that we know of today. I wouldn't want to be around when that thing blows up, would you? Listen, all those things, and hydrogen, something that God invented, but the power of the gospel can really rearrange a person's life. When the gospel and the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is believed, a person becomes born again or saved. At that point, the gospel begins to have an impact, an influence on a person who has believed in Christ. And we'll see in our text here today the impact the gospel had on the Thessalonians. And by the way, it should have an impact upon us. If it hasn't, there might be something wrong. Listen, the gospel will literally impact and change our lives if it's believed. Sadly, I believe there are some people who have a mental assent of the gospel, but it's not believed in the heart and hasn't really changed their lives. Listen, the verse here that Paul had in Romans 1:16, it says, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, we need to believe the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and he's coming back again. Take us home to heaven. I want us to first see the first point I have here. The power of the gospel brings confidence. It says in our verse here, verse 5, it says, for the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, or the power of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Listen, Paul had confidence in the gospel. He had confidence in the power of the word of God. Listen, the Word of God says in Hebrews, the Word of God is quick, life-giving. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God can get where nothing else could ever get. The Word of God is powerful, and Paul had confidence in the Word of God. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my Word like a fire By the way, fire is pretty powerful, isn't it? I thought about it, but I didn't do it. I could have brought a little match up here today and lit it. And let me tell you, I wouldn't do it because, but you know, if you take that match, that little match, hold it to one of these curtains, what would happen, folks? That little match would literally burn this building down if nobody put any water on it to put it out, would it? God said, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" Listen, a hammer's pretty powerful. I remember one time hitting my nail. Not the nail that I was trying to drive in. I hit the nail of my finger. I'll tell you, that hurt. And I lost that nail. Got black and blue and eventually fell off. God's word is powerful. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Jeremiah 5:14, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." Listen, I have prayed and I want God to use His word this morning. God's word is like a fire up against the wood. And we know that fire can be very, very powerful. God's word is powerful, and we can have much assurance in the power of His word. But not only in word only, He says, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost. Our confidence is not only in the power of God's Word, but our confidence is in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, in Acts, Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power." Who is He speaking to? He is speaking to the apostles. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Listen, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet, but God said, "I'm going to ascend back to heaven and I'm going to send a Comforter," which is the Holy Ghost. And after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to receive power. Listen, you and I who are saved have the Holy Ghost living within us. Holy Spirit is His word. When we got all sometimes, we need to ask, what do we do? Let the Holy Spirit of God lead us. Listen, He knows. And even as we pastor or anybody gets up to preach, you know, there's so much in the Bible, but God, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to tell the people? To the Holy Ghost and the earth, the power of the Spirit will let Him in the gospel do it. To my words mentioned in that unborn mouth, like some would say. In fact, I don't consider myself a great speaker. But listen, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's Word. Listen, I just need to get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And that's all we need to do when we talk to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just tell them the good news. You know that Jesus loves you and died for you. He was buried and rose again. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save your life. He'll change your life. Listen, we just need to give out the gospel. We have confidence. I trust you have confidence in the power of His Word and in the power of His Holy Spirit that lives within us. He said, "What manner of men we were among you," 2 Corinthians 4:7, "but we have this treasure in earthen vessels," that's us, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Listen, power belongeth unto God. It's God's power, not mine. But He's given me His power. He's given me His Holy Spirit. He's given me His powerful word. And we need to give it out. We can have confidence in it. So we see the power of the gospel brings confidence. The power of the gospel changes lives. Look what it did to these folks. Verses 6 through 9. "Became followers of us and the Lord." Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ." Listen, we can follow Pastor. You can follow me as long as I follow Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. What kind of example are you? What kind of example am I? We need to be careful, don't we? The power of the gospel changed these people, and they became followers of the Apostle Paul and of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, who's watching you? There's a lot of eyes on you. I still remember when I worked at Gross Snack Foods years ago. I tried to be a witness. I gave out tracts. I laid tracts around work. I talked to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, I wasn't a very good example. I'm sure many days I wasn't. But I still remember one day somebody was getting on me about something and it started to irritate me and I blurted out something I should have never said. And they were taken aback by that. And rightly so, because they knew what kind of person I said I was. And so these folks here were changed by the gospel. They became followers of the Lord. And Paul said, followers of Him, they were examples. Not like this, it says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you have the joy of the Holy Ghost? Do you have joy in your heart and life today? I hope you do. By the way, I love this verse. The words were found and I did eat them. They were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Did you feed on God's Word today? If you do, He'll fill your heart with joy. Oh, the Word of God's precious. They had the joy of the Holy Ghost. By the way, joy is a fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit, does it not? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance. The joy of the Holy Ghost. These folks had it. By the way, joy is not simply happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. You know, you're happy as long as everything's going right, right? Things don't go right. Oh, boy, I'm not happy about that. But joy is rooted in God. You can be sad and still have the joy of the Lord. Amen. By the way, I don't like the way things are going, and things are going in the United States of America. But you know what? I've got the joy of the Lord because I don't want to see my country go down the tube, so to speak. But I know where I'm headed. I'm on my way to heaven. And by the way, I just listened to a great message this past week on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read that sometime. This mortal must put on immortality. Whew. Wow. Mortal body going to put on immortality. And, you know, we're going to be changed. We're going to be altogether different. Wow. So much more that could be said about that. I think he had seven different things that's going to change at the rapture. We're not going to be the same, folks. We're going to be in a glorified body. We're not going to have a terrestrial body, an earthly body, but we're going to have a celestial body, a heavenly body. Wow, this is a pretty neat thing, isn't it? Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? What a body we have, and yet one day we're going to have a celestial body, a heavenly body. What in the world is that going to be like? It's going to be out of this world. It's going to be amazing. Listen, they had joy of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 119:72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than 1,000 of gold and silver. Psalm 119:11, thy testimonies have taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Listen, read God's word and believe it and practice it. You will have the joy of the Lord no matter what happens. Our joy is not dependent upon what happens to us. Joy is rooted in God. It says, so that you were a samples to all that believe. Again, I ask, what kind of example are we? These folks were examples to all that believe. The power of the gospel really changed their lives. It says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They were proclaiming God's word. Listen, we need to do a better job of this, don't we? He says, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. They were proclaiming it abroad. He was saying, you know, we don't even need to speak anything. Can you imagine that? I go downtown Effort and I say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Oh, yeah, I did. I go into Denver, talk to somebody. I go into Reading. I go all around. Listen, the Word of God's been sounded out. I don't even need to preach. Paul's saying, you know, you spread abroad how God has changed your life. You're an example. You're preaching. You're proclaiming Christ. We don't need to say anything. Wow. The power of the gospel changed their lives. I like this one. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The living and true God. You know what that means? Idols are dead and false. They turn from idols to serve the living God, the true God. What about us? We have any idols in our life? You know, we don't bow down to statues. At least I hope not. We don't bow down to the moon and the stars. But we bow down before the living and true God. But you know, our idols are not like their idols, which once enslaved them. No, modern forms of idolatry have one thing in common. Self. Boy, if we could just... Oh, Lord. It's one of my prayers. Lord, help me not to be so focused on myself. But help me to focus on others. Listen, Pastor preached a message not long ago, and I've heard that acrostic many times, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last spells joy. It's not very hard, is it? But it's hard for us to do it. Our idols is self. We no longer bow down to idols and images. Instead, we worship at the altar of the God of self. We worship at the altar of materialism and pleasure. We do not pursue what pleases God. We worship at the altar of self-aggrandizement or the fulfillment of self-gratification to the exclusion of all others and their needs and desires. Listen, we just saw that. Becky, is that Honduras? Is that where that money goes to feed the children? To that ministry? No? Listen, those that go to places like that could say, you know what, I've got other things to do. You know, we could all say that, but listen, missionaries and those of you and I, let's not worry so much about ourselves. Let's think about others. I shared in Sunday school, as God spoke to my heart this past Saturday, I believe it was, as I was reading my Bible, I wrote down this verse. I thought, Lord, I need to put this verse into my life and practice it. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Listen, every one of you, I need to esteem as better than myself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Listen, there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of people that need the gospel, and the power of the gospel has the power to change their lives. Let's not worry about ourselves. Let's esteem ourselves not very important and other people more important than ourselves. Let's not bow to the idol of self. The world cries, I'm the most important person. And I shared that in Sunday school as well. I don't know how many times I've heard that. You got to take care of number one. Who's number one? Certainly shouldn't be us. But that's the cry of the world, is it not? Take care of yourself first. No, God says, you put me first. Love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And your neighbor as yourself. That's the way it should go. No, folks. We live too much for self and for the things that this world has to offer. And Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. You get that? Set your affection on things above, the eternal things, and not on the things of this earth, which are temporary. Listen, there's a lot of nice stuff out there, isn't there? I went into the hospital, by the way, just to see Denise Scott. She had chest pain and dizziness yesterday. I kept her overnight. Now, as I was going in, I saw this nice, parked right at the front door, nice, shiny red Corvette. I thought, ooh, very nice. Nice car. I thought to myself, what would I want with that? But you know, if we're not careful, those are the kinds of things we set our affections on, isn't it? There's a lot of nice stuff out there. I mean, all kinds of things. We got to be careful that we don't put our affections on those things, but we need to have our affections set on things that are of eternal value. And that's the souls of man, women, boys, and girls. Helping people like this. Listen, that's not all about just helping those people have better eyesight or better teeth or better medical care. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. You're familiar with these verses as well, but I'll give them to you. 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Why does God have to tell us that? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. One day that red Corvette's going to be rust. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen, anything we do for God, God is going to repay us one day. Praise God for that. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're to labor, and our labor's not in vain because the Lord's going to repay us one day. We're going to receive crowns to lay back at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow. Not only does the power of the gospel bring confidence, the power of God, the power of the gospel changes lives. Lastly, the power of the gospel causes hope. And I like this. Verse 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven. The Lord is coming, folks. Are you waiting? Are you watching for him? Are you busy? Because one day he's coming. Either that, or one day the undertaker's going to take you. And I liked what somebody said. I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. But I realize this. The Lord may not come in my lifetime. But remember this. He could come at any time. He's coming as a thief in the night. And I'm glad that day is not going to overtake us, Paul says. Why? Because when it happens, we're going to be raptured out of here, and it's going to overtake those that are here. But the truth is, we don't know when it's going to happen. And the truth is, while we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, we need to be busy serving him. The power of the gospel causes hope. James 5:8, but be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The word wait here means an eager longing, has the idea to wait up for the Son of God. Have you ever waited up for someone? I think of my son Andrew. I'm glad he's enjoying his time and the Lord's protecting him. He's going to be gone for about 9 months. And I miss him some. I know he's doing what he believes God wants him to do. But suppose we get a call from Andy and he calls us one day and maybe in the end of March or beginning of April said, Dad, Mom, I'm coming home tomorrow. I don't know what time it'll be, but I think it's going to be maybe, I don't think I'm going to get home till about 2 a.m. I hope to see you. That's the idea of the word there. You think we're going to wait up to see him? After he'd be gone 9 months? Let's suppose your spouse goes on a business trip and they give you a call. Say, honey, I'll be home tonight. It's going to be about 1 a.m. in the morning. Now, if you love your spouse and you've missed them for a long time, you're going to wait up for them? You're probably going to stay up. You know what? I'm just going to wait. I can't wait to see them, wrap my arms around them, give them a big kiss. Listen, the idea here is an eager longing to wait for the Son of God. He's coming. We need to be busy. Listen, we might think, well, I'm tired. I've got things to do. Paul told him it's going to happen. We don't know when, but it could be any time. Now, with that, let's just turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. By the way, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the central truth of this letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm just going to read a couple familiar verses to you. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." By the way, are those comforting words? One day, you and I are going to be raptured out, we're going to forever be with the Lord, and after 1,000 years, after a time, Jesus Christ is going to come back with us and he's going to rule and reign on this earth. And you and I will be a part of that. We're always going to be with him for then. From then on out, we're going to be forever with the Lord. Those are comforting words. Are you waiting up for him? He could come at any time. Let's be busy serving him until he comes. Let's not get weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." I like what Philippians 3:20 says. For, by the way, let's turn over there. Philippians, we're not far from it. Philippians 3 and verse 20. And in fact, let's read verse 19. "Whose end is destruction," speaking to those who are enemies of the cross, "whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." By the way, that's the world. That's what they do. They mind earthly things. That's why they buy Corvettes. That's why they buy yachts. That's why they buy vacation homes and all kinds of things. I'm not saying all that stuff is wrong always, but they mind earthly things. But listen to what it says in verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven." That word conversation there is our citizenship. What that is saying, folks, is this. This is not your home. Heaven is my home. Therefore, I need to set my affection on things above and not on things of this earth. "From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then last verse and I'm done. Titus 2, 13 and 15, "looking for that blessed hope." Are you looking? "And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Look what Paul says. "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." What Paul is saying there, listen, we're looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing, but in the meantime, be zealous of good works, for the night cometh where no man can work. Our work will be done. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. The power of the gospel brings confidence. The power of the gospel changes lives, and the power of